from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. I'm here to help whoever I can, whomever and whoever I can. If that's you, I hope it's you. If you're new, or you're a regular listener, you recognize it when I have trouble saying words. If you're a new listener, you're going to hear a lot of that. Misspeaking, misspoken. If I had a sash, it would say misspoken. I'd be wearing it around because it'd be the most accurate sash in the history of the world. And what am I misspoken about? Well, just about everything. But right now, it's about whatever it will take to help put you to sleep, because it's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Drew, and I just wanted to take a second to reassure and reaffirm some things about Sleep With Me for everyone that's listening right now. I want to reassure you that Sleep With Me isn't a show about my takes or opinions on things, and I know most of you don't tune in for that. And it's also not about politics and dividing people. But Sleep With Me has always and will always be about human rights, whether that's everyone in our community beyond the binary, whether it's people getting directed towards self-care and mental health care during this crisis, or the fact that the lives of the Black members of our community matter. Those things are inexorable from the idea of Sleep With Me being the podcast that puts you to sleep, being a safe place. And I know not everybody's going to feel this way, but Sleep With Me is about a trying for unity, or something that all of us and all of you that tune into this show share, which is a few things: wanting a safe place where you could sleep, you deserving a good night's sleep. And I think the deepest thing that connects us is we all know how it feels. Every single one of us that's tuning in right now knows how it feels in the deep, dark night. And sometimes, as we're seeing, it goes well beyond just our own sleep issues, and it's much bigger than that. And those things are bigger and actually, to me, more important than the podcast. So while this podcast isn't going to change, these current events are inseparable from the mission of the show. So it will come up at the beginning of the show in appropriate moments. Because the other thing it comes down to is the goal of the podcast is for you to feel seen, and that's part of creating a safe place. And again, I'm sorry where I've failed at that and where I could get better. And I just want to be clear with everybody that's listening that that's really what the show has been about forever. I want to reassure you that I'm here to listen and learn as well. So thanks for hearing me out here. And again, there's going to be resources in the show notes, and I'm going to try to come up with a resource page. And if you have any more resources or feedback, please let me know at our contact page at sleepwithmepodcast.com. Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? How much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now. then we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Luxe collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe. I love my Helix Dusk Luxe. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Luxe, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, and it's three parts, one where I thank the people that supported the sponsors, and that keeps the show coming out. I wanted to thank Carl, Julie, and Daniel, who all supported Helix, and they got some nice new Helix beds, took the Helix quiz, found the right mattresses for themselves, and that's a wonderful thing. So thank you, Carl, Julie, and Daniel. I appreciate that. The second part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need, whether it's to support your self-care or to support change, and those links are in the show notes if you need them. And the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I'm supporting right now, and that's the Loveland Foundation. And the Loveland Foundation was established by Rachel Cargill in 2018. She did this amazing birthday wish fundraiser, therapy for Black women and girls, and it raised over $250,000. It became the beginnings of something even larger as it made it possible for Black women and girls nationally to receive therapy supports. The Loveland Foundation is the official continuation of that effort to bring opportunity and healing to communities of color, especially to Black women and girls. And that happens through fellowships, residency programs, listening tours, and much, much more. So you can use the link in the show notes, or you could go to thelovelandfoundation.org to learn more and to support empowerment and liberation. That's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Thanks, everybody. Oh, Mystery Bard, you and a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
This posty poster song
sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song,
edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend
also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer
are on her, on her, on her, on her. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I just want to remind everybody, if you're listening to a podcast app, make sure your smart speed and vocal boost or options like that are turned off so you experience the podcast. If you're experiencing any speeding up or distortion of the podcast, thanks, and let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it as a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. You know, whether that's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about, you know, things on your mind about the past, the present, or the future. Or just, they're just thoughts coming up. It could be deep thoughts or shallow thoughts. I don't know if I've ever talked about deep or shallow thoughts. Sorry, thoughts. I didn't mean to call you shallow. By the way, I love shallow water. So, thoughts, physical sensations, so anything coming up for you physically, or feelings, anything emotionally coming up for you that might be getting in the way of sleep. It could be something else, or no offense, but somebody else who's snoring or tossing and turning or messing with the temperature in your room or home, and now we're rolling our eyes and sighing at them. And maybe you're looking at them in a way that's both loving and in a way that's, I'm here to help with that. But it could be, travel, temperature, changes in routine, holy changes in routine. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say holy changes in routine, because you'd say, is that what your beliefs? And I say, no, I wish my belief system said, well, let's celebrate these changes in routine. They offer us a learning opportunity. Or a growth, I'd say, well, what keeps me up tossing, turning, learning opportunities and growth opportunities. I'd say, Carol Dweck, could I, they say, no coffee after noon or like 1 p.m. or whatever. I'd say, no Carol Dweck after 2 p.m. They say, I'd like to put a stop to my growth mindset about 2 p.m., if at all possible. I'd like to I move into a fixed mindset around 4 p.m., and hopefully I'm fixing, first I'm fixing my dinner, then I'm fixing to relax, and then I'm fixing to get some sleep. But you might be wondering, what am I talking about? Well, yeah, I'm here to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is I'm trying to create a safe place, a little bit of a ridiculous place where you could set aside that stuff. Like I said, I'll send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'll use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless those are creaky, dulcet tones, like a creaky door mixed with something sweet. Like if your favorite door was creaky, and it was always creaky, it would be, that's a creaky, dulcet door, because then that was also a cologne, the creaky, dulcet Dior door collection by Dior. No one ordered that, so it did not work out for me, or, Dior. That was Christina Dior, not Christian. But we're no longer in business together because they said, I knew that was bad. I said, well, you didn't think a creaky doll, seasonally, I smell like the seasonal scent of a creaky dulcet door. So, what was I talking about though? Oh, send my voice across the deep dark night, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, you already got a few. Superfluous tangents, extra words, a lot of nonsense. And if you're new, I want to give you some information right away because I always forget and then I go off topic. So if you're new, I'm glad you're here. If you're skeptical or doubtful, you're probably I agree with you because I would be skeptical or doubtful or confused or off-put, or maybe a little bit flustered. Those are all natural reactions to this podcast. And so I want to acknowledge that, that's how most people feel when they first start listening. So a couple things to know. One, kind of see how it goes. Most listeners, it takes 2 or 3 tries to get used to the podcast if they stick around. But it does work for a lot of people. So see how it goes. But before you say, well, I'm not so sure about that, I say, okay, totally understand that. You're not ready to see how it goes. So let me give you information on starting out. If you're going to listen to this podcast, just barely listen to it. And you might say, what do you mean? This is, and I say, well, kind of don't pay super close attention. You can, but if you're trying to figure out when am I going to put you to sleep or how I'm going to do it, or when am I going to get started doing it? I already got, here's a hint, I already got started doing it. Because I'm more here, like, to take your mind off stuff and keep you company than to put you to sleep. But also, like, I found that when people try to look at the podcast, like, you know, like, they're looking for something that makes sense. Oh, boy. The only sense I make are ones that don't, that Christina Dior tried to sell and didn't, you know, didn't work out. So there won't be a lot of making sense here. There'll be making up sense. You know, but it's mostly nonsense, as I already said. So try to approach the podcast in a loose way. You don't have to approach it in a friendly way, like a loose friendly way. You could say, well, like, you know, like I said, keep, you know, keep me at a safe distance and see how it goes. So this podcast you don't really need to pay attention to and you don't need to listen to. The other thing is there's no pressure to fall asleep. The shows are about an hour. So you have plenty of time to fall asleep, and I more keep you company as you drift off than put you to sleep. And if you can't sleep, you know, you're very important to me. If you're awake or if you need the show or you need 8 episodes tonight, I'm here for you. That's why I make the show, to keep you company. So if you can't sleep, I'm here. But also in the sense that that works, if you're asleep, I'm still here for you, even though you're asleep. It's great for both of us. Because I get to be here doing my job and keeping you company while you drift off. So, those are two things to know. Oh, then structurally, that's the other thing that throws new listeners off. And the only thing I can do is kind of give you a heads up. It still might throw you off. And, you know, this is a podcast. You don't have to like it. Like, it's optional. I hope it works for you. But even for the people that works for, some of those people, they still don't exactly like the podcast, but I hope it works for you, and I hope you kind of enjoy it. I forgot what my point was. So structurally, this can throw people off. So the show, this is the structure of the show, and then I'll go into some specifics. So show starts off with business. Well, it starts off with a teaser, a greeting, then business, and the business, and then an intro. Then business, and then I'll talk about Star Trek The Next Generation. Doesn't matter if you, well, I'll go into the details. Then some thank yous. And the reason the podcast is structured that way is like there's business at the beginning that helps us keep the podcast free for everybody. So not super important if you're new. And then there's business between the intro and the episode, because that's just like some people like their business there. But because you say, well, why would it be after the intro? And I say, well, and then some people say, okay, tell me about the intro. And I say, well, the intro is around 12 to 14 to 16 to 18 to 19 to 17, 15, 13, occasionally 11 minutes of me introducing the podcast. So if you're, you know, thinking about it logically, you say, wait a second, it takes you 11 to 13 to 12 to 14 to 15 or 17 or 16 or 18 or 19 minutes to introduce a sleep podcast. Shouldn't you just say Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep? Tonight we're talking about Star Trek, and then move on to putting me to sleep. And I'd say, well, that's a legitimate thing. And I do really wish that it worked that well, like that I could just do a 1-minute intro and then talk about Star Trek The Next Generation. And for about 2% of listeners, it does work that well. They skip ahead and they start the show at about 20 minutes. But for most listeners and for myself, I need a bedtime routine and a wind down routine. And so the intro, it serves two purposes. It introduces the new listeners to the show. And for the regular listeners, it's new every time. And it becomes part of their wind down routine. So it gives you time to ease into bedtime. So some listeners may fall asleep, but most listeners are either getting ready for bed, they started playing before they get in bed, or they just got in bed and they're getting comfortable. They've been in there, whatever, 6 or 7 minutes now. What up? The bed's starting to get warm finally, huh? So the intro is, like, you could say it's long and drawn out. And I would say, well, more like long and scribbled out. But, yeah, it's just the whole purpose is to get, ease you into bedtime. I don't know, like, because that is the intro. The intro is one of the things people feel strong, like, that the podcast doesn't work for, feel strongest about. That and the business. And the business is kind of unavoidable because I want the podcast to be free. But in the intro, it does serve a purpose for most listeners. And then it's easy to skip, or patrons just listen. Some patrons just listen to story-only episodes. But really, if you become a regular listener, most listeners are fans of the intro because that's the part of the show they hear, which I guess is ironic because they put way more work into the story portion of the show. But I think the work I put in the show is what enables you not to have to listen to it. So that'll be the intro. Then there's business. And then I'll talk about Star Trek The Next Generation. Now, a couple things. If you don't watch the show, don't worry. It'll be soothing and sleepy like a bedtime story. If you're a big fan of Star Trek The Next Generation, you don't necessarily need to worry about it either, because it won't make you say, I don't think that was an episode, Scoots. I don't remember any of that happening. I say, well, it's my interpretation of it. So either way, you're covered. You say, well, one day I'm going to watch all. I say, well, again, you say, I thought Scoots talked about this episode. I don't remember any balloon animals. So that's the structure of the show. So those are the things, if you're new, that you need most remind, like, that I, like, I don't know, that I want you to know about. And then I was thinking at the beginning, I was talking about shallow thoughts and deep thoughts, right? And I just thought of this because I said, wait a second. Okay, so not many times you say that deep thoughts have a negative connotation, unless, like, it's like you're, I don't know how many people have kids in their lives, but, like, children from the age of, like, 10 to 45, they've been known to do some deep thinking in a room where you might want to also use it to, you know, go to the restroom. And so then you might say, can you finish up with those deep thoughts in there, please? I got to get in there. And that's the only time that deep people say, wow, you and your deep thinking. Or they say, what are you doing sitting around there thinking about deep space? Or so there's not many times people say that, but shallow thoughts, they really, like you say, like a shallow thought, you'd say, well, how's my hair? You say, oh boy, you and your shallow thoughts. They'd say, wait a second, you could read my mind? You knew I was thinking about my hair? And they'd say, well, because your thoughts were so shallow. Your mind's easy to read with those shallow thoughts. But how come shallow, like, here's a, like, because I said it. I said, I thought, you know, when you think about shallow water, it's almost like the opposite. Like, deep water, you associate it with being cold, maybe having too many fish, but shallow water, I'll tell you what, put me in some shallow water at a beach where I could see my, you know, put my feet in and see my feet, you know, maybe one or two minnows and it's warm. Holy shallow water. So, I mean, sometimes shallow thoughts, you really need them. I mean, you say, well, you know, they don't involve any deep stuff. They don't have to be narcissistic, you know, or you don't have to use that word, right? You say, well, I was just thinking about bubble gum. I guess that's a shallow thought. Chewing it. That I don't know what other shallow thoughts, because I don't want to, like, say something's a shallow thought. It might be a deep thought. You know, one person's shallow thought is another person's, you know, think piece. But I think we could all agree. I'm just trying to think who would object to shallow water. I mean, obviously, ship, you know, big ships, they'd say, well, we can't even get in there. Or, you know, sea beings that need deep water. But you say, well, shallow water, you could, you know, it's good for your ankles. Sometimes it's good to sit down in. I mean, I'm talking about Hollywood water, by the way, you know, not normal everyday water. You might say, well, Scoots, I'm picturing, I say, no, this is only Hollywood water. You know, the Hollywood is, I'm leaning into the Hollywoodization of shallow water. So yeah, the one with the sunlight filtering through, sandy bottomed, holy cow. I mean, yeah, if you have shallow water with M-U-C-K on the bottom, that's a different story. But I'm here to glorify what's already been glorified in a show, you know, because I'm just here to be shallow. I'm talking shallow cast. We're talking the shallow water cast, the shallow episode. Just talking about how great it is, how pretty it is. But those are deep things at the same time, but not in this case, you say. I mean, to the minnow in there, they say, well, what do you mean this is shallow water? It's a perfect temperature. It's my, you know, this is my home until I go over there, and then that's my home. And then you don't even see me when, you know, when after dark, you don't know where I am. But really, I'm still in this shallow water, cruising around. Where do you sleep? In the shallow water somewhere. Okay, well, that's good to know. So, I don't know. That was just something I was thinking about. One of my shallow thoughts, I said, how come shallow water does not get the credit? Well, I guess it's not transferable. You say, well, shallow thoughts, Scoots, I don't know if you know this, different words have different meaning. They say, whoa, 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 hold the phone. Does this mean everything I learned with like Latin prefixes and those kind of things? Should I throw all that out the window? Well, Scoots, shallow is actually a word. It's not a prefix. Are those called prefixes, or is somebody going to email me and they say, no, no, that's not what it's called? Well, I don't know, because I'm within your brain. But I'm just telling you, shallow water and shallow thoughts, those are two different things. Kind of, though. But isn't? Can you agree with me that shallow water is pretty darn great? So why wouldn't shallow thoughts at least be pretty okay? Can you give me an example, Scoots? Okay, let's say you look at the blue sky. You don't like, and you're like me, you know nothing. You've learned about clouds and blue, you know, that there's like water vapor or something, or, you know, it's like that you can't see space because of whatever, but you really don't know anything. You say, darn, that sky looks good. It's pretty, pretty blue, except for the wispy clouds. Oh boy. That's nice. Isn't that a good shallow thought to have? Or what about the wind? And you say, oof, that wind, it's a little chilly, but it feels not. Okay, I know I have to work on expanding my vocabulary. But you say, oh boy, this feels nice. Oshkosh, bagosh, that wind in my hair. That's a summer breeze, even though it's spring. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, good talking to you. Yeah, great talking to you. I'll see you in a minute, you know, when right in your brain right now. All right, go ahead and go up there. I got to finish this intro. So I think that's it. Whether you have, like, I'm here to take your mind off of any thoughts or feelings or physical sensations. I'm here to keep you company. I make this show because I've been there, and I know how it feels, waking up early, tossing and turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. I've had it all. And I think it's important. I know you deserve a good night's sleep, and I'm here to try to help if I can. I really appreciate you checking this show out, giving me your time. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. Here's a couple of ways we're able to keep the show free for you and everybody else listening. Thanks. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, hey everybody, it's Scooter here, and we're talking about TNG, Sleeping with TNG, Season 1, Episode 12, Data Lore. And now this is the first lore episode on TNG. It was my second lore episode. And I'm not sure if the first lore episode came out or it's recorded and it hasn't come out, and I'll switch the order. So I don't know what order you'll be hearing this in, but get a little, we get actually a lot of data backstory. And you do have to remember that this is season one, so there is a lot of exposition, and so it's cool for me to go back to it, and because there's so many I've seen so many, and this is my first time seeing the episode, the first time I watched it. I mean, now I've seen it like six times, but it was what was I trying to say? I have no idea now. Oh, it was just fun to see all the stuff about Noonien and Soong. That was fresh information to the audience and the Enterprise crew that I had already known. I don't know. It's fun to like consume exposition out of order. It's very like expository and informative and fun. I don't know. As a person that makes stuff, I don't know how many other shows are that you could just watch totally out of order and the random way I've been watching TNG. Because I started my TNG consumption with Max from Cards' blog post. This episode and another episode, my friend Lauren from This Is Love podcast and another podcast that rhymes with Minimal with Phoebe. She was rewatching season one of TNG and kind of giving me some reports. So I watched episode 12. At first I watched episode... I can't remember the other one I watched, but so anyway, that's where we're at is Datalore, which it's a one word, Datalore, and opens cabinet log is 41242.4. Last assignment, we're going into Omnicron Theta Star System, home of Android crew member Lieutenant Commander Data. We're doing our next assignment, but I wanted to stop and see Data's home planet. Why? For a few hours in the hopes of unraveling some of the mysteries of his beginnings. That doesn't really give us what drives the mystery. Oh, I guess their mission. Yeah, so that does make sense. I didn't realize I didn't read that until now, but I mean, it does subtextually kind of guide the theme of the episode. Wesley is on the bridge, and so he's already progressed to bridge. But I said, what's with his uniform? And then Picard says, yo, where's Data at? You know, we're getting ready to go to his house. We'll be there in 20 minutes, Shorty says. 20 minutes out, coming out of warp, standard parking orbit. Oh, Riker's one. Picard says, yeah, Data wanted to be alone with his thoughts. Maybe it's a big moment for him. Then we go back to Data. We see he has triangle sideburns, which later in the episode I'd realize that Riker also had, I don't think that was a thing at the time. You say, well, that's pointed the thing you're doing with your sideburns, but Data's practicing sneezing in a very true thing. Also, a question came up for me that I don't think I'll research the answer. Why does Data have a mirror? And again, when you think about this thematically, who would be more concerned with their image, right, of their appearance? And what is that ever called when you think about your appearance? But not, I don't know, but like, would it be Data or Lore? Because, I mean, I guess you have, like, wouldn't, if Data's an android, wouldn't he be able to just do a scan and be like, shirt's tucked in? No, you know, I don't think he has to check his nose for anything. He doesn't, I don't know if he gets, I don't think he gets food on his face, but it just made me think of it because he's practicing in a mirror. But of course, for this episode, mirror images are important. So I don't know. Also, the word agog gets used. Wesley comes, doesn't ring the doorbell. Come on, Wesley. Or knock. Wesley, you could see how much Wesley loves Data. Like, really, we also get a couple of glimpses of Data's room. I don't know if this is his office, though. But Wesley says, what are you doing? Data says, practicing sneezing. What does it look like I'm doing? Oh, they talk about colds, which was in the past, no longer. But because Data says, well, people still sneeze for other reasons other than, you know, things we've gotten rid of. Wesley says, why are you practicing that now? We're going to your planet. Are you worried or something? He goes, no, I'm fascinated, interested. Agog, that's when agog gets used. But I also find sneezing interesting. Again, Spiner really gets to ham it up on this episode in a good way. Captain wants you at the bridge. No, Tasha Yar's on the bridge. She says, no vegetation, nothing on this planet. get a lot of soaring music. They say, Data, you want to take it into orbit? He goes, nah, no thank you, when he comes onto the bridge with Wesley. Then Data looks at the planet. At first, he kind of seems stunned. This is around 2 minutes in the episode. And then he kind of seems unsure. There's a lot on his face. I'm watching it now. He kind of, like, looks awkward. Then everybody looks at him. Great acting. They get into orbit. Riker really stares Data down. Then there's a lot of exposition about memories. Sweet memories. Home sweet home. What Data, do you have any memories of home, Data? Riker asks. Well, kind of. I had, like, science memories. Yar says, how can you hold memories of 411 people, all in things, in every moment of their lives? And Data goes, that's not how it works. Only have their accumulated knowledge. I'm deficient in basic human information, like sneezing. That cracks Riker up. Then they say, all right, get barking. Riker, get ready to, for your away team. Riker starts pointing at people. Won't be the last time this episode he points at people. He says, geez, like, too bad I can't come with me, Picard. But he says, well, number one's got to be responsible. And then Picard says, Mr. Data, welcome home. Data just nods. Away crews, Geordi, Yar. Riker and Worf. Then we open. Then we get the first officer's log, which kind of is out of order because they haven't landed yet. But the first officer's log says, yeah, nothing here. No, not even vegetation. No, nothing. Not even soil stuff. What could have happened? A desert planet almost. They all phase in. Then they run the scans so that we knew, okay, once again, nothing's living here. Once a farmland, now a dust bowl. They say, Data, is this the right place? He goes, topographically, contour-wise, this is the area. Then they say, geez, they do a little exposition. This, Geordi says, this happened like 20, 30 years ago. Data says, well, I got found 26 years ago. Geordi says, this must have started right around the time they found you. Data goes, let's go 20 meters that way. They see the stairs. Season one, I think, particularly features this very, this music I enjoy, slightly distracting. I don't know if that's just the mix or the elements of it, but I do enjoy it. Wind chimes is mixed in with the music. They get down to Data's, like, stone, concrete bed. It's out in the open. Data says, yeah, it's covered in a layer of dust when they found me. Or, like, I think that's what he says. Something about a layer of dust. Tasha says, you're just out here in the open? Like, nothing? And he says, yep, only a layer of dust. What's the first thing you remember, Data? Opening my eyes to the Tripoli landing party. And they said there's some signal device that saw them, sensed them nearby and turned me on. And Tasha loves it. She goes, this is the spot of your birthplace. Then Geordi's sleuthing around. Somehow he figures out there's a secret door. I mean, he said, holy Watson, Watson's pulling a Holmes here. And he did use some deduction because saying, well, this is I think this was their intent. He opens the door, more music. They go into a cave. Then it's a complete base in there. Also, Data talks about, geez, the humans are probably storing info in me. No readings. There's a long hall. There's like a good lighting. And I said, well, is this an imitation of natural light or natural light? I mean, it makes the cast look good. But I said, if you lived in the base, this would be good. Then they go through a circle door open. They go into a lab. There's like this Indiana Jones music now. Really re-listen to it. It's just like if Indiana Jones was like discovering like some treasure. So you say, oh, this is treasure discovering music. We see neon tubes. This is well-equipped lab. I got to pause it coming up here because there's some kids' pictures I wanted to pause it on. What else do we need to know while this is going? Oh, this episode came out in 1987, which is quite a, you know, quite a long time ago. Some might even say 33 years or something. So yeah, we see the lab, everybody walks in. I guess with the scanners, you say, what are they doing? But I guess because they have the scanners, they know everything's fine. Because I wouldn't just be walking into, I guess I've watched one too many movies myself. Data remembers some of his functions being tested in the lab. Okay, here's the kids' pictures. Let's wait for the Zoom. Posted by proud parents. 9 minutes. Four kids' pictures of a crystal thing. And, oh boy, they actually, 9 minutes and 35 seconds is a close-up. There's different versions of it, but the one on the top right is my favorite by far. But I guess the one, I mean, it's the most well-drawn and is different than the other three. The other three are very similar, though the top left one also has some good details. But Riker clearly likes the bottom right one. That's the only one that's signed by Josh M. And, oh, yeah, you want more details? The bottom two by Josh M. and another child that didn't put their name on their paper, probably because they're just doing it for fun. Those are on, like, a mint green-colored paper. Both of them are have the crystalline entity. They have they have the land, like a ground, and then a crystal entity in the sky. And then people running around saying, oh, are there crystals? Like, I've never seen a crystal before, a giant crystal in the sky. The one on the left does not feature very much color, kind of done in a brown. It might have some blues. Then the one by Josh M. is mostly brown. It has some stars either in the sky or coming off the crystal entity. Some rock details on the ground, and then two red people and a blue person running, saying, oh boy, look at that crystal entity. Then on the top left is a picture done on a sky blue paper. That one has ground. It also has a couple rocks. It has some stars or some crystals. Oh no, wait, that one is done by somebody. Can I zoom in? No. That's also by maybe Josh's brother. It looks like Jeff or Jaff M or J-A-E-M, I think, or hi, I guess you'd say. But that one is has a lot of people jumping for joy and like saying, oh, looks like you jump up to the crystal. Then the crystal has some blues and some yellows and some browns, but mostly they're drawn in brown. Then the top right one is a white piece of paper. Well, oh no, that one's by John B. So I guess I was wrong. Most of the kids did label their work. I apologize. But John B., white piece of paper, a lot of detail. So not a crystal entity, but more of the light coming from one, which includes yellow and white light. It's an evening blue horizon sky done with details. And then the people are done with a lot of details that are dealing with the crystal entity, like even facial expressions and even reaction lines. And like very, very good detail by John B. Let me just see if I hit play, what happens with this other one, if it has. I think it does have a name, but I can't see it because of... I needed the closed captioning so I can look at the, What is that called? The dialogue. Then Data says, geez, I don't even know what that represents. Kids pictures, an expression. Oh, let's see here. I think an impression of this Noonien Soong's world starter-like video gave more exposition backstory. No, Data says, I have no idea what the pictures represent, but I recognize this workstation. It's Noonien Soong's, which is, oh, it's from video games. Like, if you ever played a video game, particularly currently Outer Worlds, it's like the engineering stations you'd play a video game at, or a workbench. Exactly like that. So, interesting influence. Okay, so then we get some Noonien Soong, Oh, this, Dr. Soong's work area, Data says. And then they say, who? And they say, Noonien Soong? And then Data says, yeah, but he had a different name when he got here. They say Noonien Soong was the Earth's foremost robot scientist until he tried to make Asimov's positronic brain, and he promised too much, and then he didn't deliver, and so he had to disappear. No one knows where he went, but maybe he tried a second try. So then Riker says, let's split up. Look around. Well, I think I just saw another kid's picture behind Tasha Yar. Let me see this here. He says, go Yar, Worf, reconnoiter. Oh, huh. Gonna rewind it again. This is around 10 minutes into the episode. Let's see. Pause it. Tasha Yar. Nah, more of a, well, it could be a kid's picture or it's a label of some sort on the wall. Not really, it's really symbolic, so let's see. Then they find this capsule that has some molds for Data, Data puts the one on, and it kind of looks like the outline, like something from the movie Metropolis, I think. Then there's a room full of steam, which they say, without Riker's permission, Data opens the door, even though they were interested. It looks like a storage room, and all the steam pours out or smoke. I said, well, that doesn't seem like a good idea. I don't know. There's multiple WTFs in this episode. That didn't even get a WTF on my notes. But there's sound effects. I notice definitely worth watching because there's Data's butt on the bottom left. And I didn't notice it the first time I watched it, but it's, I'll pause it to let you know the timestamp, just in case you say, well, I got to see Data's butt. It technically Lore's rear end and not Data's butt. Okay, door opens. There's a lot of steam. Everybody's looking. Steam clears out. And what time? Yeah, if you want to see, it's 11:47. Let's see, sound effects, butt on the left, yeah. Data starts looking at it, the head, which has a wig on it. Is this another me? Let's see, Commander. Can this be another me? Data's kind of, or my brother, he says, looks over at them. And they say, well, we don't know, Data. And Data says, can I put this thing together? Riker says, well... we don't know if this thing can actually work, you know, come alive. And Data says, well, it's important for me to find out, sir. I never dreamed it was possible that I might find some link with a form of my own. And, I mean, this is a little bit dry, you know, like emotionally we'll get closer to Data as the seasons wear on. And we'll get a more sense of the profound loneliness of being Data. So we don't quite get, it's nice for me to go back to this because I can relate. I say, well, I understand Data's profound loneliness in the universe. I mean, in a multitude of ways, but so sometimes it's good to watch these old episodes again. Riker says, don't worry, we'll take it back to the ship. We go back to the ship. I think there's an ad break. Then we go back. Captain's log 41242.45. We see, they say, yeah, we checked out Data's planet, discovered something, put it in blue liquid. So we get a bunch of Data's parts in blue liquid. They're trying to, then we get this, this is like, if you've ever been on a ride at Epcot Center, there's a short montage with music, and it looks like you're going by workers like if Epcot Center had an Android lab. Or like a fake display of robot, what do they call it? Animatronic figures working on an Android. This would be it because it has that music and everybody's just kind of working for a little while, collaborating. And Data's watching. And then Beverly Crusher shows up, Dr. Beverly Crusher, of course. She says, they need you on the bridge. Data says, well, I'm anxious here. Mr. Argyle's the chief engineer at this point. Never heard of him. I mean, I'm not kidding. They said, are you related to the Argyle from that movie with Bruce Willis? But Data says, do you think you can get this thing working? And they say, well, we don't understand how you work, Data. I said, what do you mean? You never looked inside Data yet? And let's see. And then they say, well, before Data leaves, they go, well, maybe we could compare your body with your double's body to see, are you okay with that? And Beverly says, let's get back to work, Data. They're working on it. Then the Data walks into a meeting about Data, which is awkward. Riker and Geordi share a look, and then Riker says, I'll do more of the dialing. Say he heals all your parts, __. It, like a hearty har har. And they go, like the part we heard about. Yeah. He says, all your parts. And he almost starts laughing. Data says, completely. And then they say, well, do we going to know how to turn it on? And they say, what part are you talking about? And they say, geez, this is uncomfortable. Picard has to talk about the situation. He says, this is uncomfortable for everybody, right? And we're being awkward. He goes, it's awkward. You might be, it's hard to say that Data is a machine, but he goes, we're an organic machine. So let's just acknowledge the feeling in the room. It's okay to feel your feelings, move forward. And that's why he's the leader, right? And they say, Data, what do you think? And he says, well, why am I a human form? And Geordi says, well, you're relatable. And Data says, well, or is it some other reason? They say, well, maybe it's performance. You know, you operate as well as we do, better in some ways, sir, Data says. Then Riker says, well, how about this kid, picture this kid drew something? I don't know. And Ricardo goes, are there any other writing? And he goes, I like this one by Josh M., even though now it's red. Before it was not red, maybe. And then instantly they call Data back down, even though he's only gone for a few minutes. They say, Data, we need your help down here. Geordi rubs his hands. Data shows Beverly how he has an off switch hidden in his hip. And he makes a joke about an Android alarm clock that falls flat. And I say, she goes, are you sure? He goes, just keep this our secret. I was like, they never looked at this. So then they start opening Data and comparing them side by side. But I was surprised, like, they never looked at it, like, I don't know. They really practice what they preach in this new world. Dignity and respect for all beings. But he says, let's keep the switch on the down low. Beverly agrees. Then we get the side-by-side of the Datas. Then, you know, they do, you know, they say, let's connect A to B or whatever. Close it up. Then Picard comes in like he's all smiles, as they go back in with Riker behind him. Riker's smiling. He says, looks good, but no consciousness yet. Picard gets close. He says, huh, interesting. He stares at it for a while Data talks. Looks the same. Do you think it is the same? Don't know. Which one was made first, do you think? And then the lore comes to life. He says, he was. And he goes, but they found him to be imperfect. I was made to replace him. Then he looks at Data and kind of winks or something and goes back to sleep. And he goes, you can call me Lore. His eyebrows are up. He's grinning. And Data's totally stunned. And we go to an ad. Then we have Picard and Data talking about Lore. Like Picard says, why is it to call you imperfect? And Data goes, I don't know, human language? So maybe he's better at language than I am. Picard goes, well, what's the whole point of, he goes, if you have the same capabilities, and Data goes, by the way, you're calling Lore it. And he goes, does that mean I'm an it, a thing? Picard goes, oh, my apologies. I'm sorry. Which again, man, Picard's good. And Data says, by the way, Lore has syntax and grammar. He probably has human memories similar to my own. And Picard goes, you think you're equal? And Data goes, I think so. And then Picard says, I got another question, you know, since the two of you are the same. Data goes, don't worry about it. I'm loyal to you and the Starfleet Academy, you know, Starfleet completely. Picard goes, okay, I thought so. Then we get like Geordi, like WTF again. I've seen this in other episodes. Like they're letting Lore's like learning how to fly the ship on the bridge. And Data walks up. He's shocked. Everybody's like, oh, I mean, I guess they said, wow, we got somebody new to hang with, Wesley. But Worf does not. Worf kind of glares at Riker. But then, you know, he says, okay, so I could do this or travel the ship in all three dimensions. And then Picard goes, in the square of a hypotenuse to, what does Picard say? He just throws him a question. The square of a hypotenuse to the right triangle is the sum of the equal of the square to the other two parts, Lore says. And then he forgets. He says, I don't understand. And then Lore says, Data says, you're not approved to be on the bridge, dude. And then Wesley goes, yeah, there's rules on starships. Lore goes, well, I guess I got duties to perform. Lore goes, Data, you're never this anxious to please. And he goes, yeah, Lore's a better people pleaser. He goes, and Lore says, I enjoy pleasing people. And he goes, my sibling. And then Geordi says, oh, I love that. You like the sibling love. And Lore says, isn't it important to keep everybody happy? Data goes, well, there's many things that are important, not just one thing. Then Worf and Riker are kind of glaring, and they go on. Data gives one look back as they get on the turbo lift, and then Riker and Worf share another look. And Data goes, "That hypotenuse question was a trick, by the way." And Riker's smart, and Worf goes, "I guess I underestimated him." He goes, "By the way, Wesley is too. He's not a child. He just has a child's body. He's much more than that." And Lore goes, thanks for that information. You really do care about me, brother. And I hope I'm worthy of you. But don't be jealous of me either. You know, my good looks and all that. Data's kind of speechless as Lore walks off. Then we go into Data's bedroom. Worf's also in kind of like a robe outfit. Data sits down, and Data goes, by the way, I'm going to give you full access to the computers, all the information about the ship and Noonien and Soong. Lore jokes about off and wrong Soong, which, because he was a genius by human standards, but humans, you know, weren't nice to him. And he's going to see Lore's got beef, and he goes, he ends up being right, you know, superior to humans. He goes, he taps his head with a great sound effect, our beloved father. And he goes, when am I going to have a uniform like you? And Lore goes, Data says, well, 4 years in the academy, 3 years as an ensign, then 10 or 12 years on different ships. Lore goes, I don't have time for that. That's for humans with limited abilities. You're starting to be like a human. He goes, you and I are superior. We're different from them. He goes, you just want these memories you just have when you could have 100 colonists? Why not have everything? Thousands, millions. All the knowledge in the world. All the life forms of every kind. Then he has a little glitch up. And he goes, we'll learn about this more in time. And Data goes, okay, well, I'll just give you, I'm going to give you full access to the computer. And then Data says, well, who was first? And Lore goes, I'm not going to estimate you. He stands in front of the mirror. He goes, you were made first. He goes, but not really. He goes, I was made perfect. He goes, but I was so perfect that the humans got envious of me when I lived with the colonists. Made him uncomfortable. So he had to make a more comfortable, less perfect android, you. a little bit less human or something. He goes, because I can use contractions and handle human speech easier. Can't, or isn't, which you can't do. Cannot, is not. He makes fun of Data. And then he jokes about it. He gets to ham up again, potato, potato. And he goes, you can't make jokes either very well. Data goes, yeah, quite true. I keep trying to be more human, and I keep failing, which is the most human thing. Then Laura says, do you realize, brother, I can make you more human. I can give you whatever you want. And Data goes, do you realize, Laura, I have to tell on you now? Because of your disrespect for humans. And Laura goes, well, I knew it. I knew you'd do that. Yeah, there's like a lot of foreshadowing in there. Yeah, in the mirror image stuff. And he goes, well, he goes, I want you to write, Data says, I want you to write a report on all the bad stuff you're up to. With full access to the, on this computer, you know, that you have access to the, you know, everything. And you do that, I got to get back to work. So behave. And Laura goes, no problem. And then he goes, unless you need anything else. And Laura goes, I have more than I possibly have ever dreamed of, my brother. And I put War's a Riot. Then he downloads everything. I put Hack City. The workstation's 40271. I think that's on the top right of the workstation. Then I think we go to an ad. Yeah, then it's Captain's Log again, 412-42.5. Now, Laura told us what happened to the colonists, a crystalline entity that was in the, we built a picture from Josh's picture. Great crystalline entity takes a life force and, makes a desert. It's a desert producing crystal. Josh says, well, how'd they get out of there? And they go, well, they weren't, neither one of them was alive. Data wasn't turned on or was disassembled. And that's why, it didn't turn them into a desert. There's a little more backstory. And they say, well, this experiment didn't really work. Riker says, I don't believe any of this. And Picard goes, well, we don't know everything, Riker. It's possible. And then they say, Yar says, Data, where's Lore? Is he just cruising around the ship? And then they go, oh, yeah, he was on deck 4. Worf gave him a bunch of tools. Worf goes, oh, totally. He gave him some tools for Quadranium. And Data goes, oh, that's not suspicious at all. That's, you're probably making an ointment for his elbow bomb. But I'll go check down on him. I'm going to go check on him. Then everybody kind of shames Data. So this is a weird scene. They see Beverly says, why are you going to spy on your brother? Picard goes, that's what Starfleet officers do. They follow orders. And Data nods, walks off. Yeah, but I said, what the heck is it with the security on the ship? They're like, Data, you got to be more kind to him. Then they get off the ship, and this is another good scene, 28 minutes in. Tasha goes, speaking, as a security officer, I guess because Worf isn't there yet, clearly. She goes, can we trust Data, basically? And everybody gives her a double take. And Picard goes, look at Wesley looks, Geordi looks, what? And Picard goes, as a necessary and legitimate question by a security officer. I like it. Yar beams at that. But he goes, no worries. Then Lore's making champagne for him and Data in the room. But a sleepy champagne with a caviar kiss for Data. To put him right to sleep. So I tried to look up the name of the champagne. It's like a... It's like really long. Something Premier Guard, Premier. And so, yeah, they have a bottle of champagne kisses. And Laura says, let's do a toast, man, to me and you. Before Data toasts, and he holds up his glass, he makes one of those pucker faces. And they say, to caviar dreams. And then Laura says, by the way, Data, have you ever watched, are you familiar with the thing of the Great Pumpkin? Data goes, no. And then he scans his data. He goes, is it from Charlie Brenton? And Laura goes, it is. And Laura goes, to me, the great crystal entity is the great pumpkin. They're one and the same. And I'm expecting the great crystal entity, any, you know, to come like just like the great pumpkin and bring us gifts. Then he gives Data a quick champagne kiss, which makes Data fall asleep. I don't know how that works, but it just does. And so Data says, I have to lie down. I guess like he's like, this is real Android champagne, like double proof or something. And so Data has to sleep. Laura says, well, you sleep, I'll wait the arrival of the great crystal pumpkin entity. You know, what's going to happen is we're going to download every memory, me and the great pumpkin. And I'll ride the great pumpkin off into the sky. First, I'm going to, you know, go download you. Yeah, right now, Laura hams it up for a while, talking about soon. He had to disassemble me because Colonists didn't like me. He goes, but then, you know, I told the crystal entity everything. So then we go back to ship. They say, Data's sending out messages, subspace, Worf says. Riker says, oh, he's doing research. That totally makes sense. He's downloading something. But they say, just in case, Wesley, could you go check on him? And Wesley stands up. This is another one worth pausing. 30 minutes, 31 minutes in the show. Wesley walks off the cruise, like, laughing at his, like, enthusiasm. Then Laura's dressed as Data. He says, crystal entity, I'll call myself Data when you call in. He glitches. Wesley rings the doorbell this time. And Laura says, hey, what's up, kid? He goes, by the way, Laura's sleeping. He had too much champagne. He likes to sleep on. And Wesley goes, what do you mean? I thought we only had synthesol, you know. And he says, oh, no, don't worry. He's just sleeping on the floor because it's more comfortable for him. It's not because he drank too much non-synthesol. And then Wesley's kind of suspicious, but Laura's kind of trying to play Wesley with his contraction, non-contractions. And he goes, go tell the captain that I'm coming up to the bridge. Wesley's not sure of things. And he walks off. But Laura thinks he has him, except for his tick, because Laura said, well, I'm just pretending to be Laura as Data. So Laura fixes his tick. Nothing discreet about him. Is that what something says? I don't know. But that's what they say. Go down there and find out discreetly what Laura's up to. And they put nothing discreet about him. About Wesley. So Wesley's a little, if he fixes the tick, I think that's when we go to an ad, maybe. Oh, no, not yet. A little bit more. Fix that tick. He puts the tick on Data. So Data's his lore. Then we have the ship is coming in. Beverly says, Wesley, how much did Data say Laura had to drink? And he says, well, he turned him, he said he just shut him down after he said he had to go take a nappy poo. And Beverly says, well, this is something not right. But again, everybody's kind of like not seeing the truth either. So Beverly's more like, I thought I had a secret. And she goes, Data, how come I thought you told me we had a secret about your off switch? And Data Lore says, I changed my mind. I trust you. Then Geordi says, we got a bogey at 5 o'clock. No ID. Put it on the main viewer to send it a friendly message, Picard says. And we see it's a crystal entity moving fast. Data says, holy cow, that's beautiful. Data Lore says that. Wesley says, oh boy, that's not good. They say, Riker says, that's a crystalline entity from Josh M's picture. And everyone's like, what in the heck? A little bit stunned. Lore's kind of, then we see the ship again. Crystal entity in pursuit. We go to commercial. They're face to face, the ship. They say we can't communicate with it, no answer. Jordy says it's like a giant snowflake, but I don't. It, but also more complex, and I don't understand it. Some electromagnetic stuff, maybe. But really, I don't know anything. And then Riker says, "Okay." Then Picard says, "Why don't you go ask Lore if you know he knows anything more, Data?" And then Wesley goes, "I don't trust this person." And Lore says, "That's totally normal." Wesley's like, just trying to, he goes, "We should encourage him to be suspicious." He goes, "You could come watch me." And Wesley goes, "No, thank you." And Picard gets really bent. And then Riker goes, "Yeah, you got to show Data some respect." Because maybe I'll accompany you. I couldn't tell if this was a ruse or not. Like, and Riker points, I guess because it's season one, maybe it's not. But Riker points sternly at Wesley, follows him down to Lore's room. They stare at the crystal entity. Then they go into Lore's room, or Data in Lore's room. They go, "Look, we had a thoughtful Picard face first." And then they go into the room. Data Lore says, "Look, he's twitching." So it's totally Lore. Riker goes, "You're right, it's totally Lore." And then he goes, "Look at it." He's like, "He won't wake up." So, he goes, "Come on, Data," or "Come on, Lore, wake up. It's Data. Just sober up for a second so we can find out about this crystal entity." And he goes, "Maybe you should leave me alone with him because, you know, he could say something not nice." And he goes, "I'll totally record everything." And then they leave, and Lore goes, "What suckers these humans are." And Lore just kind of laughs at the human's naivete. And we get a lot of close-ups, like something out of a movie. Riker storms onto the bridge with Wesley. He goes, "It was totally Lore, facial twitch and everything, Captain. He was sleeping off." Lore said, and then Data goes, he goes, "It was totally," and then Wesley goes, "Nope, it was Lore faking to be Data, dude." And this is like a famous scene. I think everybody tells Wesley to shut up over and over again. It's definitely a meme, because Wesley goes, "No," I think this is when it happens. He goes, "Ensign Crusher, you're out of order." That's what Picard says. Geordi goes, "Crystal entity's getting closer to us, touching our shields." Picard goes, "Get ready to do something, red alert." That's when Data Lore comes on the bridge. So I don't think the shut up part happened yet. Then Data Lore says, "I can talk to it." And Picard goes, "Really? Whoa." He goes, "Do it." And then Lore Data calls. He says, "Hey, this is Data. These humans are really powerful, so don't mess with them. Stop attacking, please." And everyone's so impressed. They say, "Wow, you really," Geordi goes, "Wow, that's a way to communicate, Data. That's some communication." And Lore goes, "I got a plan. Let's transport a large ship into space, or a large tree into space, and that'll show them how strong we are. We're going to show them how powerful we are with our phasers by blasting an imitation tree." And then we have another hint that they don't catch, because Picard says, "Make it so." And Lore does not understand what that means. And he goes, "What?" And Picard goes, "Get it done, dude. Go do it right now." Tasha stares. Picard has a questioning look on his face. But Wesley stands up. "Sir, I don't care if I get fired." That's when he says, "Shut up, Wesley." Wesley sits back down for a second. Then they go, "Follow Data." And then Beverly says, "Shut up, Wesley. I can't believe you're saying that to my son." And he goes, "This is a starship." And then Wesley stands up again and says, "You know what? I don't care. Fire me. I'm the one that's right." And then Beverly tells him to shut up twice, I think. She says, "Shut up." Then he stands up. He goes, "If I was an adult, you would be listening to me." And he goes, "I want to go back to my room." And then Picard goes, "You go with him." And she, Dr. Crusher goes, this is ridiculous. She goes, this is very patriarchal. But again, I didn't know if this is a ruse. I don't think it is. Then Worf goes to follow Data Lore, and Data Lore does some smooth moves and puts Worf to sleepy poo by patting his head. Lore has convoluted plan to blast a giant tree. All the Wesley shut up stuff's at 38:37. Lore versus thing. Then they go back to Data's room with Wesley and Beverly. And Wesley goes, I heard you that you know how to turn him on. And she goes, Data. And he goes, no, turn him on. And she goes, she goes, you're not being very fair. They turn Data on. And then they go, Data, that crystal thing's right outside the ship and Lore's running around. Are you okay? He goes, I'm functioning sufficiently to stop Lore. We go down to one of the like transporter storage rooms and Lore's making a speech. Crystal entity, great pumpkin, this is your friend Lore. Let's wrap this up. Data, Wesley, and Beverly try to sneak onto the thing. Lore's letting out his plan about, you know, putting the deflector shields down so they can take over. Data comes out, says, Lore, I got the drop on you. It's too bad. Making me wish I was an only child. Lore smiles. He's like, oh, let's dance, buddy. He sees Wesley spying on him. He goes, oh, you gave me a gift to this kid, too. Troublesome little man-child. Now, meanwhile, Beverly's trying to sneak up on them. And Lore goes, you're in a lot of trouble, kid. And then Beverly says, you're in trouble, Lore, addressed as Data. Lore does the old throw Data into Beverly thing. And he says, hit the road. Just leave me with your son and Data for some strange reason. And you can see, Data, this is the advantage of being human. I can trick them with kindness and stuff. He goes, I suckered them. Then he goes, hit the road, doctor. I'm going to count you down right now. Well, you know, let everybody know they're toast. And he counts 1, 2, 3, 4. Then he does more hamming, really good hamming stuff. He shakes her off, then he goes, thank you, Dr. Soong, for my human qualities. Really great acting. And he goes, something for your son's misdeeds, which gives Data an opening. Wesley and Data do a dance off with Lore. Then they do some barrel tossing, which was like a game, I've seen that in games before, but Data says, don't worry, Wesley, I got a plan, get the transporter ready, and Lore makes one bad move, and Wesley work together as collaborators and send Lore somewhere into the crystal entity. I don't know, they transport him off, and Lore's gone, then everybody shows up on Then Wesley says, Lore's gone permanently, sir. Beverly runs, says, nice job, Wesley. And then Picard starts, he goes, Wesley, Beverly, go to sick bay. Then the crystal entity starts to retreat, I guess, because they showed they were effective. There's a fan, oh, Beverly and Wesley hug. Crystal's out, Data's quiet. Picard goes, you okay? Data goes, I'm fine. He has a twitch. And then Picard goes, get rid of that twitch and put on a uniform then. And he goes, yeah, correct. And then Picard goes, Wesley, get back to work if you can. No apology, but he says, let everybody know it's okay. Picard kind of looks at the crystal entity. Riker says, it's gone. You know, without Lore, it couldn't get here. And Picard goes, it's time for a computer refit. Better get to that. And then they walk off together, two of them. Because have you ever considered that whether Data is more human or less human than we want. And Riker says, I only wish we were all as well balanced, sir. Guard goes, agreed. And then they head off into the hallway. And we see the Enterprise head off into the stars and into dreamland. Good night. All right, everybody, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts recently. Kimmy Cricket says, dreamy way to fall asleep. Hesitant at first, but then it's been a miracle. It consistently helped me fall asleep. Finally sleeping, 0817, lifesaver, helpful for me, takes my mind off whatever I'm thinking about, helps me get to sleep. Love sleep with me, must read. This is from Slumber User. Love it, listen every night, never get tired of episodes, love downloading for travel. I'm a fourth grader, always had trouble getting to sleep. My mom is dealing with a lot, and she also listens every night. When I was in first grade, my mom told me about listening. My mom had me listen to it to try to help me, and I didn't like it at first, and maybe a couple other times. By the end of third grade, I tried it again and loved it. I love sleep with me. Thank you, Scooter. Even told my dad and brother about it, and they also love it. Thank you so much, Slumber User. And that goes into the next one, Mama Made It, who says, is it wrong I use it on my kids? Well, no, Slumber User says it's not. After successfully using it for myself, I tried on my kids, and they couldn't stay awake no matter how hard they tried. Nat Watts says, works for me. I'm a Brit. They're from the UK. First time I used it, I thought it was going to get on my nerves, and I gave it a couple nights, and I'm into it. Listening for months now. I don't need it every night, but two or three nights a week. Trick is not to listen too hard. It just helps me not have continuous thoughts. It keeps me awake, nice and distracting. Some of the other stuff I've tried, I didn't like as much. Then this person from Canada, they did not like the show. Who listens to this? Terrible. Well, they listened for 45 minutes, though, before they gave up. B-Bar just says, give it a listen. No idea what it's about. I thought he told stories. Then he went on about Pat Black's for 15 minutes. However, I couldn't get, I paid attention to the locks. So they give it 4 stars. Give it a shot. Don't think about it. Just listen. Nancy Eck says, yeah, sleep is the best. Could turn it on when I can't fall asleep. I highly recommend. C quadruple X, and then 5P says, amazing. Should be prescribed. I always have trouble getting to sleep at a decent hour. Put my buds in 5 minutes, I'm snoring. Have yet to hear a full episode. And then Josephus the Wise says, can get to sleep fine most days, but when I can't, because it's the dark things, it doesn't just help me sleep right away. It distracts me from the darkness of my mind. Thank you so much for putting this out and giving me something to concentrate on that doesn't fill my head with nightmares. Tough stuff. Thank you. Thanks, everybody out there who continues to support the podcast. Couldn't do it without those of you supporting the sponsors and supporting the show directly. So thank you on behalf of everyone. And then thanks, everybody, for spreading the word. That's how people find out about Sleep With Me. Appreciate that. And speaking of spreading the word, here's something I want you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month and what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have 4 podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? and building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.